Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over season 7, episode 10, called Lost in Las Vegas, and it premiered on November 20th, 1996. All right, so this one starts, and David is taking some of the gang to Vegas for the weekend, and apparently Ray is performing. Ray we have not seen in a while. I guess all is forgiven with Ray. The last we saw of Ray was probably when he dropped the lawsuit against Joe. So I guess all was forgiven, even though he threw Donna down the stairs. But anyways, they're going to go to Vegas. They're saying because Ray's playing. I don't know. Brandon doesn't want to go. He's kind of just being a little bit of a party pooper. I guess he just wants to stay at home, have the house to himself, whatever. So then we see Steve working on a paper on Brandon's computer, which is in the kitchen, the computer. This is pre-laptops and stuff. I think I've mentioned this, that I just find it funny the computer's in the kitchen. Like, there's nowhere else to put it. It's, like, on a desk in the kitchen. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, so he's on the computer, and he wants to look at one of Brandon's old papers because he wants to formatting help for the paper that he's writing. So Brandon's like, I got something for you here. Obviously, it's an A. I like also it's saved on the computer as Brandon's paper. So he's only done one, like, report or something on his computer, because it says Brandon's paper. Anyways, so Brandon opens it so Steve can format it, but instead of formatting help, Steve just deletes the name Brandon Walsh, and he writes Steve Sanders. So he's just gonna steal it, because that's what Steve does. It's typical. Will this come back to bite him? I think I know the answer. I think you probably could too, but we'll find out. I don't think in this episode though. Anyways, David is very eager to get on the road to Vegas in a timely manner. He's calling Valerie to bug her to get, you know, everyone ready on time. She thanks him again for the money for the after dark. So he's saved the after dark with all the money he's gotten. And he booked a great suite for them for the weekend. And it sounds like they're going to be sharing it, just the two of them. Because, you know, last episode ended, there was a little something going on. Steve and Claire, fully back together, gonna go to Vegas with them as well. And David is starting to display more of his manic behavior by driving 100 miles per hour in the car on the way to Vegas. It seems a little reckless, but that's what he's doing. And, everyone's kind of yelling at him to slow down. And he's like, God, man, like, relax. He doesn't think there's anything wrong with driving 100 miles per hour. Sure. I mean, how long is it? What is it? 4 hours? Something to drive from LA to Vegas? I'll double check that. But it's not a bad road trip to Vegas. Everybody flies, but the flight, I mean, is probably like, it's probably a half hour flight. But I think it's about 4 hours, but I will double check that. Anyways, back in Beverly Hills, Mark and Kelly make plans to spend the weekend together, so things are kind of progressing in that boring relationship. Brandon complains to Nat about the new prices at the Peach Pit. Sure, okay. But while they're talking, they encounter a woman named Melanie, who tells them that she just got into town to visit her fiancé, but she was robbed. The address where her fiancé was supposed to be was in her purse, So she doesn't know where to go. She doesn't have a phone. She doesn't have anything that she can do. But luckily for her, she walked into the peach pit, because hadn't she, you know, had she walked elsewhere, she, you know, would have been screwed. Nat's giving her a meal on the house, and Brandon sitting right there was like, you know what? I'm going to take care of you, because he loves a damsel in distress. So he obviously is going to take care of her. Now, normally, he said, I'll give you a ride wherever you want to go. Now, normally, you're in her situation. A guy says to you, I'll give you a ride wherever you want to go. You're not going to go. You don't know this man. He's a stranger. But she's like, oh, wow, thanks. Yes, he's very nice. I mean, it's got to be because of how he looks. That's the only thing. He looks like how he looks. That's the only thing that makes sense, because that doesn't make sense other than that. Anyways, Donna is obviously not going to the Vegas trip. And David told her that he doesn't like how much she's worried about him. She's concerned that the combination of him and Valerie is going to lead some trouble also. So I guess she kind of knows what's going on with Valerie, even though I don't know how she knows, but she knows. And Kelly doesn't think that Donna can change how he, now that he's inherited the money, she's not going to be basically making a difference. Brandon then takes Melanie to the hotel where she thinks her fiance Phil is staying, but unfortunately he checked out a couple of days ago and didn't leave any information about where he's going. And Brandon tells Melanie now she can stay with him. Okay, so first, you don't get in cars with strangers, Melanie, but now she's going to the stranger's home. Something's fishy. Doesn't make sense. Even though it's not fishy at all, but she's very trusting of Brandon, and she doesn't know who he is. Anyways, we are in Las Vegas, and David and Valerie check into their suite, which has been comped. It's free if David gambles at least $10,000. So that's the plan. He will be gambling $10,000, so they have a suite for free. I think that's pretty standard, I guess. Rooms are comped all the time in Vegas, I think. I don't gamble enough to get a comped room. I also have family in Vegas, so it's really a moot point for me. But anyways, the sleeping arrangements are worked out, and I can only hope these two use protection because, you know. Anyways, they decide to go see Ray's show, which I don't really understand why, but sure. Valerie wants to make things romantic right away, but David wants to start gambling. He's got that 10 grand he's got to spend. And over in Claire and Steve's room, she notes that their room number is 3003. And 3 is Steve's favorite number. They should gamble with those numbers because there's no way they'll lose. I feel like Claire could count cards. I really do. Like, I feel like if she put her mind to it, she would easily be able to count cards. Just a thought. Brandon takes Melanie to the TV station to get some things, but Mark and Kelly are already there making out. Doesn't he have, like, a big empty house because David's in Vegas, so he's using the studio to just, like, make out with her in the control room? And by seeing Brandon's reaction and their kind of reaction to Brandon seeing them kissing, it is very apparent that Brandon still holds feelings for Kelly, because you can tell he didn't like what he saw, basically. And also, Mark fucking sucks. I mean, Kelly sucks too right now, but so does Mark. The Vegas group catches up with Ray. Apparently, they're all buddy-buddy now and friends, which is just so weird to me. David tells Ray that he and Val are partners now at the club, so whenever he wants to be, or if he's back in town, he will definitely headline at the After Dark like the olden days. Ray's kind of noticing that David's a little kind of off. And then David needs to go gamble. When he leaves, Ray does ask what's up with him. And they're not really noticing it. which I don't really understand why or how, when Ray, who doesn't know him that well, clearly notices it. Very bizarre. So, Phil calls the Walsh house, though I'm not really quite sure how he got their number. He tells Melanie that he is going to come over once he's done with work. So, I don't really understand the point of this story, this Phil and this Melanie, but it gets to keep Brandon doing something by not going to Vegas because he has to be involved in the episode. That's the only thought I have. Now back in Vegas, the gang goes to, I guess, another one of Ray's shows. I don't know. He doesn't play that song that he always played, though. It's a new song, which is kind of interesting. He usually plays, like, you know, the typical How Do You Talk to an Angel or that other one. This is a brand new song he's playing. David keeps ordering drinks. So he's the only one who doesn't think they've all had enough. I don't know. Claire and Steve play number three in roulette. The wheel hits 10, but they had a foolproof plan. I don't know. Meanwhile, David has good luck with blackjack despite being a drunken mess. He's really fallen off the rant. Like, he's kind of just, I don't know. Anyways, Steve and Claire go back to their room as she complains about how she had such a strong hunch about number three. And there's no reason they should have lost. Maybe they should have played zero instead of three, since there's also zeros on the room number. Or maybe Claire should just get her head checked, because who really gives a shit? Phil finally makes his way over to the Walshes. And I only wish that there had been a scam and they were going to rob Brandon, but it doesn't seem that that's the plan. Months calls to make arrangements to come by the house to pick up Steve's paper so he can turn it in for him. This is the paper that Brandon actually wrote. So I guess Steve thought Muntz was going to pick it up, but Brandon wasn't going to look at the paper. That's my understanding. So when Brandon goes back to the living room, Phil's gone. He dumped Melanie for someone else. Sure. So he let his fiance come all the way to LA, thinking they were going to get married, then made her wait all day before he came over and told her the truth. But at least she has Brandon now to comfort her. Again, are we supposed to care about these people? I don't really know, because I specifically do not care about them. If you do, more power to you. So, Mark invites Kelly to spend the night at his place, but she doesn't want to move that quickly. He's willing to keep things completely non-sexual until she is ready to take the next step. So, I'm thinking she doesn't want to take it to that sexual level because she's really not that into him. I think she's just kind of... he likes her, she finds him cute or something, and likes his company. That's really all there is. I don't think she's that attracted to him, because why wouldn't she sleep with him? I mean, he told her he's, like, falling in love with her, right? And they haven't had sex. Just a thought. And Kelly's not one to kind of wait, if you know what I mean. I mean, what's the longest she's ever waited to have sex with someone? I don't know. I mean, she and Brandon, when they first hooked up, was like the first night, I think, they got together. She went to Washington to see him, and next scene we see they're in bed. Anyways, David calls Donna and offers her for her to come out to join the others in Vegas. Donna can immediately tell he's drunk, asks him to be careful, and he said, "What could I possibly do?" Then he drinks some more. Valerie tries to get him to wrap up his gambling for the night, but he wants to go to another casino. He wants to keep going since he's losing right now. He's still getting drunk. He's losing. He's not doing so great. And he's upset with her for acting like a mother to that, like, just like Donna. But Valerie gives up, lets him go, and she is out for the count. with him, I think. Anyways, so playing roulette with double zero now has worked out well for Claire, though she's betting $3 at a time, when Steve thinks they should take a bigger risk. After three wins in a row, Claire wants to quit and spend the winnings on wine. So she's a good gambler. She figured out, it's double zero. She's betting $3. Once they win three in a row, she is out. So she's not going to keep going. I commend her for that. Like I said, I also do think if she really put her mind to it, she can easily start counting cars. And I love that she wants to spend it on wine. That's a good girl, Claire. So, waiting for a cab outside, David meets two women and agrees to share a taxi with them. First, they want to stop by at their hotel. David appears to think that's really an invitation to a threesome. Which, I mean, David's, it's been there, done that. I mean, we saw he's had a threesome before, so not that crazy if he's going to have another threesome. Now Melanie talks to Brandon about how Phil has dashed her dreams of moving to LA and starting a family, because that's what you usually come to LA for. You want to get married and you want to start a family. That is what LA is all about. Right? I'm being sarcastic, if you couldn't tell. Anyways, he tells her his dream, and I guess it's not a surprise, but Brandon wants to be president one day. And I do believe Mr. Brandon Walsh could be president, because if we could see our former president was a host of a reality show, I think it really goes to show that anyone could be president. So Brandon, you have a shot, even though you are a fictional character, but you also have a shot. And then Melanie asks him about Kelly, since she did notice that he was upset about Brandon seeing her with Mark, and he admits that maybe he is still in love with her, which is interesting because we haven't really seen or heard of that. But he's admitting that he still has feelings for her. I mean, it seemed maybe those feelings, disappeared last year because he was with Susan all year, but I guess they've always kind of had that lingering thing going on. And he does says that maybe he still has feelings for her. And Melanie says she doesn't get why he wouldn't want to be with a guy like Brandon, since, he's clearly such a hero. I also think from Kelly's perspective, I don't think she thinks that Brandon's an option at this point. I think she's made it pretty clear. I mean, when the whole, I love you both till the day I die speech, she chose herself, but then did tell Brandon in Palm Springs the very next day or so, just because she didn't accept his marriage proposal doesn't mean that she doesn't want to be with him. So she's implying she still wants to be with him. And then when she was in rehab with, after the whole Colin cocaine incident, she tells Brandon in the hospital she's still in love with him. So she's given hints that she's still there, and he's not. His whole thing is timing. So he has not reciprocated. So I'm kind of, as much as I hate her, I'm kind of on her side right now, because I do understand he has not given any inclination, implication that he is still interested in her romantically. So he has not told her. So if he's feeling this way, maybe he should tell her. Anyways, in Vegas, David's new friends, these girls that took him to his hotel, he wakes up and, it seems that they drugged him and robbed him and took his clothes and ditched him there. So, did not end well for Mr. Silver here. In the morning, Kelly gives Mark some liner about how she'll be comfortable next time they spend the night together, blah, blah, blah. The rest of the Vegas crew minus David wonders where he is, because apparently he is nowhere to be found. Ray is being the voice of reason now, and he's kind of slamming the others for keeping an eye out on him, you know, which they weren't doing, and suggests that maybe they call Donna to see if she's heard of him from him. So there's something to say when Mr. Ray Pruitt is getting on them for not paying better attention to what's going on with David, which he saw, you know. And like David's waking up hungover in a hotel room that he's just been robbed. So, you know, it's not good stuff for him. Phil calls Melanie just as Muntz now comes by to pick up the paper. It is sealed in an envelope. So Brandon does not actually look at the paper because it's sealed. So he doesn't know that it's his paper. Gives it to Muntz. Muntz takes it. Phil wants Melanie back now, he's decided. Again, so he dumped her, and then now it's the next day he wants her back. I don't know. She's not about to reunite with this jerky guy, which I agree. I think this story's stupid, but I agree. But she's going to stay and live in L.A. to fulfill her dreams of having a family, because that is what you do in L.A. You go there and you start a family. That's what dreams are made of in Los Angeles, California. So later, Donna does arrive in Vegas. So she was called. She was notified what's going on. She is coming to basically handle the David situation, because Steve, Claire, and Valerie were unable to, because it seems that they are incompetent and are unable to realize that there is clearly something very wrong with David. It's funny, like, I don't know, but she's there, and she's not happy that David and Valerie were sharing a room, we see, also. I don't know if it was jealousy. But when Donna comes to find David, he's crying and worrying about why he's been acting so strange, and she's going to help him. So at the end of the episode, he realizes that there's something going on with him, and she is there to obviously help, console him and hopefully, get him kind of sorted out. So that is, that's the end of the episode. That's where it ends up. And, yeah, that's it. Fun facts and tidbits. So this is the final episode of Jamie Walters. We will not see Ray Pruitt ever again. So it is the final appearance of him. He went out with a bang, I will say. He's not as unlikable as he was when he was throwing Donna down the stairs. I do find it interesting, though, because I've heard him, and I believe, like, Tori Spelling has mentioned it, his career was kind of derailed after 90210. You know, he used to get screamed at as a guy that beat up Donna. And they did, though, kind of write it back, like she was kind of cool with him in the end, but it seems, I don't know. But yeah, he's done. He leaves, and we will not see him again. We've also have some songs. We have a song by Firefall, Strange Way, when Brandon and Nat meet Melanie at the Peach Pit. And Jamie Walters performed a song called The Great Escape, which is a new song for him that we have seen. Also, it's interesting. So the character of Melanie, for some reason, her character's last name was billed as Horton, although she repeatedly states that her last name is actually Harold. Thought that was interesting. But yeah. And on today's episode, we will do the spotlight on Dalton James, who plays Mark. And he sucks, but Dalton obviously doesn't suck. He was born in Sacramento, California on March 19th, 1971, which makes him now 50 years old. He's been acting for quite a while. It seems that he started in the early 90s. First role that he was listed in, which is kind of funny, was Encino Man. He played Will, one of Matt's friends, and I love that movie, and I didn't realize that he was in that, so that's kind of funny. But I did recognize him when he started on 90210, and that's because in 1994, he did a movie called My Father the Hero with a young Katherine Heigl before she was kind of Katherine Heigl that we all know and hate today. I think she's hated, right? Nobody likes her. She kind of just, she was hot for a while, and then stories about kind of being a little diva on set really kind of ruined her career. But anyways, she was in this movie, My Father the Hero, with Gerardo Perdue, and Dalton James was a guy, he played Ben in the movie, and he was so freaking cute. I really liked him in that movie. But then 2 years later, he turned up on season 7 of 90210. And yeah, I mean, he's on this whole season pretty much. I think, okay, so he rocks this hairstyle. I think it was called like the mushroom cut. It's when guys have longer hair, they like parted in the middle, so it's like pushed to the sides. And he has it on 90210, and I've seen pictures of him, and he continues on that hair thing. I don't like it, that look on him. I think he doesn't look as good looking. If you watch him only a few years prior in My Father the Hero, which was in 94, this was in 97, I think he's so much better looking. It's kind of just like normal kind of hair pushed back. The mushroom side longer hair is not a good look for him, in my opinion. But yeah, after that, he ended up on the soap opera Passions and played Hank Bennett on that. And yeah, I think he's still acting. Saw, you know, his social media account. He's active. He looks the same, just a little bit older. And yeah, I think, but yeah, that is it for the fun facts and tidbits and for the spotlight for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. On the next episode, we are going over season 7, episode 11, 7-11, called If I Had a Hammer. And we'll get into it next time. So thanks for listening.